Feast of Trumpets is the title of the sermon today. Yahweh's appointed time for an acclamation of joy. Or Yahweh's appointed time for a cry of battle. I suppose it depends on which side of the fence you stand. The house of Judah refers to the first day of the seventh month as Rosh Hashanah, which means the head, Rosh, or the first of the year. The phrase Rosh Hashanah is found in Scripture, but it is not found in reference to the Feast of Trumpets. Let's see where it is found. If you would go to the book of Exodus, chapter 12 and verse 2. Exodus 12, verse 2. It simply says, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Okay? This month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. If I insert the Hebrew words for the English, it would read, "This HaKadosh shall be your Rosh Kodeshim. It shall be the Roshon Kodeshi Hashanah to you." Okay. We can hear Rosh Hashanah in this verse, the first and last words of the phrase, Rosh On Kodeshi Hashanah. And translated within the Hebrew idiom, it might read this: "The new moon, or I should say, this new moon, shall be your beginning of new moons. It shall be the first new moon of the year to you." This new moon, this HaKadosh, shall be your beginning of new moons. Rosh, Roshon, Kodeshim. Kodesh is the single new moon, Kodesh. Kodeshim are multiple new moons. It shall be the first, or head, new moon of the year to you. Roshon, Kodeshi, Hashanah. Okay. Before we go any further, let me insert here a little Hebrew lesson about Kaddish and Kaddish and Kadash, which reference new moon and renewal. They're two separate Hebrew words. The difference is primarily their pronunciation. And the words Kodesh and Kadosh, which reference holiness. Okay. The Hebrew word Kadesh, spelled Ket Dalet Shin, means a new moon. It comes from the root word Kadash, which means to make new, to renew, or to rebuild. The term Brit Kadashah, for example, means the renewed or rebuilt covenant, translated New Testament in English. You get the idea of renewal as something cyclical returning to the same point over and over again. This is a constant theme throughout Scripture. For example, in the 23rd Psalm, the phrase paths of righteousness, you lead me in the paths of righteousness, means cycles of righteousness, referring to the everlasting repetitions of holy convocations of Yahweh's word, like Sabbath is a holy convocation. Unleavened bread is a holy convocation. The word path there in Psalm 23 is the word agol, which means to revolve. It means circular, or it means round. So he leadeth me in the cycles of righteousness, is how it would be more properly read. So we're talking about the New Testament, the Brit Kadashah. If you would turn to Jeremiah 31 and 31. We all know that verse, and that series of verses there, Jeremiah 31, 31, where it says, "Behold, the days are coming, says Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. The term Jeremiah is using there when he says, when it's translated in English, New Covenant, is Brit Chadashah. Notice Chadash, the word for new moon, is there. It's renewing itself, basically. He means a rebuilt covenant, one agreement between all 12 tribes of Israel, including those grafted in to Israel, between Israel and Yahweh. It's a covenant to obey the law, the word of Yahweh. The New Testament is not a brand new agreement in which Yahweh says, okay, you don't have to obey me anymore. You don't have to meet with me on the days I sanctified, the days I set down to show you my plan of salvation. You don't have to pay attention to my prophets anymore either. He's not saying that. But that's how the world interprets it. How could he go against his word? Impossible. Yahshua came, suffered, and died to restore holiness to the world. He came to restore Yahweh's inheritance, the whole house of Israel, back to the Father. Both sons, the son who stayed home, and the son who left home and fell into the distorted ways of the world. Now, I just want to give you a few more examples so that you get the full impact of this word, Kaddish. In 1 Samuel 11, beginning at verse 13, we read, "But Saul said, not a man shall be put to death this day." And he said that because they just had this battle with Amalekites, and the soldiers were coming to him wanting to put more of them to death, and he said, "Not a man shall be put to death this day, for today Yahweh has accomplished salvation in Israel." Then Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there." Renew. Here is the word Kaddish. Psalm 51, verse 10. And we know this one by heart, probably. Psalm 51, 10, "Create in me a clean heart, Elohim, and renew a right spirit within me." Renew is the word Kaddish. Lamentations 5 and verse 21. "Turn us back to you, O Yahweh, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old." Okay? The word renew there is Kaddish. The words turn and restore are the same Hebrew words. Both have the Hebrew root shuv, which means a return to the starting point. Again, this idea of cycles, of going around and around, visiting the same thing over and over again. Actually, it has the deeper meaning of a track. And the track is made by the oxen who grind the grain using a millstone. They just go around in a circle, and pretty soon that circle is a said path, about, you know, off which the animal doesn't deviate. The phrase, "Turn us back to you, O Yahweh, and we will be restored," teaches us that Yahweh is the one who can restore us to his way. The phrase, renew our days as of old, teaches us essentially to pray that Yahweh's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, as it was in the beginning. Now, the other word that I wanted to talk about was the word Kadosh, which is spelled differently than Kaddish. It's spelled Kuf Dalet Washin, and it means holy or set apart. I'm teaching this because people get confused sometimes between Kaddish and Kodesh. For example, in Isaiah 6, verse 3, it reads, "And one," speaking of seraphim, "and one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" So in Hebrew, it's Kadosh, 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 Yahweh, Tsabaot. And this is repeated in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. "The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, 'Holy, holy, holy, Yahweh El Shaddai, who was and is to come.'" And Kodesh means a holy one or being holy. It comes from the same root as Kadosh. A holy convocation, for example, is a Mikra Kadosh. I'm sorry, Mikra Kodesh. It's the same root, but it's pronounced differently. Mikra Kodesh. By the way, Mikra Kodesh is the phrase that delineates each of the annual seven Sabbaths of Yahweh. The plan of salvation is identified by the words Mikra Kodesh. The Holy Spirit is the Ruach HaKodesh. So going back to our discussion about the beginning of the new year, an error for trumpets, here we have the only place in Scripture that refers to Rosh Hashanah, Exodus 12:2, and let me read on from there, Exodus 12:2 through 11. Actually, I'm going to skip some of the verses in the center. I'll let you know that when I come to it. "This month shall be your beginning of months, the Roshon Kadeshi Hashanah. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the tenth of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household.'" Okay, skip down to the end of verse 11. "So you shall eat it," that being the lamb, "in haste. It is Yahweh's Passover." Okay, so I just want to make it clear that Rosh Hashanah in the Scripture refers to the first day of the year. It is the day upon which is determined the Passover and Feast on Unleavened Bread. Yahweh says the new year begins on the month of Abib. But why then does the house of Judah proclaim that the Feast of Trumpets is the head of the year? Perhaps it is in reference to a couple of other scriptures. Exodus 23, if you would go there. Exodus 23, verse 14 through 16. Exodus 23, verse 14, where it says, "Three times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded you, at the time appointed in the month of Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering," which is referred to as the Feast of Tabernacles. Then the next phrase is, "at the end of the year." Okay? And that word, those words that are in Hebrew are batzit hashanah. Okay? Notice the word hashanah is there, but not the word rosh. Batzit Hashanah. Well, it's the end of the year, right? "When you have gathered in your fruit of your labors from the field." Right? The key to understanding what is going on here rests in the word "end" in the phrase "end of the year" in verse 16. It is the Hebrew word batzit from the word yatsah, a word with a myriad of meanings, only a few of which suggest the meaning "end." I'll spare you the time of reading through the huge list of synonyms, because what seems clear is that it points to something significant, like the last harvest of the year. In that sense, it would be the end of the work year, the harvest, for an agrarian society, a respite from toil. The idea of the ingathering at the end of the year is also referenced at Exodus 34 in verse 22, where it is described as the year's end. And that phrase there in Hebrew is Tekufat Hashanah. Okay, so another word for end. The three annual feast times are again mentioned in Deuteronomy 16, 1 through 17. However, there is no mention here of an end, or for that matter, a beginning of the year. So it seems to me that shouting Happy New Year and blowing trumpets to celebrate a new year on the Day of Trumpets is a bit presumptuous. To me, it demeans the day that Yahweh established as the new year, the new moon that appears when the first fruits of the barley harvest are just about ready to be cut for the wave sheaf offering to Yahweh. The wave sheaf, of course, is a reference to the first fruit, Yahshua the Messiah. And that may be another reason the house of Judah does not celebrate the new year in the month of Abib. Who knows? Anyway, continuing with this discussion, the scriptural head of the year, Roshon Kodashim Hashanah, or a shortened form, Rosh Hashanah, is the new moon of the first month of the year called Abib, preceding Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, not the Feast of Trumpets. We've learned that there are two titles for the end of the year, Batzit Hashanah and Tekufat Hashanah. Now, one could stretch and twist the scriptures a bit and reason that if there is an end of the year, it also must be the beginning of a new year. Yeah, that's it. It must be a new year. Yeah. Except for a small problem. The first of the year feasts arrive at a time of an agricultural beginning, culminating in the end of the harvest season at the Feast of Ingathering. The period in between is only 6 months because Israel has, apparently, a six-month growing season. It just seems to me that the new year celebrated by Judah, beginning at the Day of Trumpets, is a man-made day. Ironically, just as the West has imitated Yahweh's feasts by creating their own two sets of eight-day feasts, Xmas and New Year's, and of Christmas to New Year's, and Palm Sunday to Ishtar, Easter, it has also copied the idea of blowing trumpets on the first day of the Gregorian year, January 1st. What a tangled web is woven when one religion copies another religion's traditions. Both then miss the mark. Let's go to Leviticus 23 and read about trumpets. Leviticus 23, verse 23. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation, a mikra kodesh. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh." In Numbers chapter 29, in verses 1 through 6, Scripture reiterates the Feast of Trumpets, adding the specific offerings made on that day. The Hebrew words and meanings are the same as those used in the book of Exodus. I should say in the book of Leviticus. So let's go to Numbers, chapter 29, verses 1 through 6. Numbers 29, verse 1. "And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work, for you it is a day of blowing the trumpets. You shall offer a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to Yahweh, one young bull, one ram, and seven lambs in their first year, without blemish. Their grain offering shall be fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the ram, and 1/10 for each of the seven lambs. Also one kid of the goats as a sin offering to make atonement for you. Besides the burnt offering with its grain offering for the new moon, the regular burnt offering with its grain offering, and their drink offerings according to their ordinance as a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to Yahweh. Okay, let's go back to Leviticus 23, verse 23, to see what the words mean. Leviticus 23, starting at verse 23, which reads, "Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel." Children of Israel is B'nai Israel, from the Hebrew root ben, or son. Literally, that means builders. It means builders of Israel. And Yisrael, spelled Yod Sin, Resh Aleph Lamed, and means he will rule with the power of El, from the roots Sarah, which means power, and El, which means mighty one. Saying in the seventh, which is the word Shabbat, not Shabbat, okay, it means sacred or full, month, Kaddish, new moon, on the first day, and that is the word Ikad. It doesn't mean one it means one, first, or united. The word, it's different from the other places we read. It's the word ikad, the word that is used when Adam and Eve were joined together in marriage, that they, the two might become one. It's also in the Shema, which Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad, which means hear, O Israel, Yahweh our Elohim, Yahweh is one. That word there is used to mean on the first day. Of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest. Sabbath rest is Shabbat, a Sabbatism or a special holy day. A memorial of blowing of trumpets, truah, which means an alarm or an acclamation of joy. A loud noise, a splitting of the ears. And interestingly, we didn't play the ram's horn today, but if you see someone playing the ram's horn, you'll know that the bell of the horn goes right into your ear. So it means a splitting of the ears. A holy, which is Kodesh, which means holy and sacred. Do no customary work, which is the word Abadah for work, or customary work is Abadah, means an obligatory service. On it. And you shall offer an offering made by fire. Ishe is a burnt offering or any sacrifice to Yahweh. So here are those words according to the meanings in Hebrew. I'm not suggesting a new translation, but this is what these words mean. Yahweh is speaking through Moses, he's speaking to Moses, and Moses is speaking the words to the builders who will rule with power of the Almighty. On the seventh new moon, memorialize joy and alarm in a sacred rehearsal. Can I hear that again? Where we read, then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. Can be read, Yahweh is speaking through Moses to the builders who will rule with the power of the Almighty. On the seventh new moon, memorialize joy and alarm in a sacred rehearsal. And that's what we're doing here today. Memorializing alarm and joy. A sacred rehearsal. A sacred acting out of something that is to come. A rehearsal for what? Today, this day, is the rehearsal for that day in the future when rehearsing will no longer be permitted. And that day is we don't know when our rehearsing will culminate in the performance of our life. However, we do know from Scripture that this day will be both joyous and alarming, and it will involve or revolve around people who have been practicing for that day when they will be responsible to rule under the precepts, laws, and ordinances of Yahweh. Who are those builders? If you would turn to the book of 1 Kings in chapter 5. 1 Kings chapter 5 and verse 18. Which reads, "So Solomon's builders and others prepared timber and stones to build the temple. The temple of Yahweh was built, destroyed, and rebuilt by Israel. Building the physical temple of Yahweh was the rehearsal for those in the latter days building the kingdom of Yahweh. In that day to come, those who believe and obey are the very building blocks, the living stones of the temple of Yahweh." If you would turn to the book of 1 Peter in chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. 1 Peter 2, verse 4, which reads, "And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of Elohim, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Elohim through Yahshua the Messiah. For this is contained in Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word." Now that phrase there, disobedient to the word, is easy to overlook, especially if you've been taught that the word has been done away with. But it means those who are disobedient to the will of Yahweh, those who are disobedient to the law of Yahweh given to Moses. And continuing on, "And to this doom they were also appointed." So those who believe and obey the word, the law of Yahweh, are in the process of becoming, of being built up to be the house of Yahweh through Yahshua the Messiah, who is the cornerstone, the rock upon which we stand. Psalm 118 and verse 24. Psalm 118 and verse 24 reads, "This is the day which Yahweh has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Yahweh, do save, we beseech you. O Yahweh, we beseech you, do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of Yahweh. Baruch haba b'shem Yahweh. We have blessed you from the house, from the temple of Yahweh." Luke chapter 13 and verse 35. Luke 13 and 35. This is Yahshua speaking to the Pharisees. "See, your house is left to you desolate. And assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh.'" Yahshua told the people of Judah what will happen to them in Matthew chapter 21. If you go there, Matthew 21 and verse 42. where it says, Yahshua said to them, have you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was Yahweh's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of Elohim will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. He is speaking to the Pharisees there. He's not speaking to all of Israel. And for many people in this world, they interpret that as Israel is basically been done away with. And it has not. Who he's speaking to is very significant, because the Pharisees are the ones who basically have come up with their own laws and abide by their own laws to the extent that they have covered up the laws of Yahweh. He is speaking to those people who have their own traditions. He is speaking to those who do not worship Yahweh or nor his will. Bearing the fruits of it. He's giving it to a people who will worship Yahweh and abide by his word. And the fruits will be shown in their works and what they do. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 25, and this is Yahshua speaking to John, Yahshua 2:25 reads, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes, in other words, he who overcomes the world and abides in the will of Yahweh and keeps my works, what are his works? His works are doing the will of Yahweh, obeying the law to the letter. Until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Then he describes the power to be given in verse 27. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel, as I also have received from my Father. We will rule with him with a rod of iron. And that ruling, that the rulership will be under what law? Well, it has to be the law of Yahweh. There's no other law. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Messiah himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of Elohim. And the dead in Messiah shall rise first. Isaiah 13:9. Behold, the day of Yahweh cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Who are the sinners being referred to here? Well, first of all, what is sin? Sin is lawlessness. The sinners, therefore, are those outside the law of Yahweh. The word has been spoken. Yahweh gave the law to the Israelites. He spoke to them of the coming Messiah. He had them rehearse each step of the plan of salvation, which are each identified by the phrase, Holy Convocation. Or in Hebrew, Mikra Kodesh. And here they are. The blood of the Lamb covering us and protecting us from eternal death. Passover. Note that Passover is not a high Sabbath. It is a memorial day. The first and last days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread are high Sabbaths, or holy convocations. The partaking of unleavened bread symbolizes the leaving of comforts and abominations of the world to take on a holy way of living. This is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Or in Greek, Azumos, the Feast of Uncorruptedness, or the Feast of Purity. Within this feast is the offering of the first fruits, namely Yahshua the Messiah, from the ground to heaven and back during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is the sheaf wave offering, portraying the ascension of the Messiah into heaven and his descension within the day after his resurrection. To be clear, the sheaf wave offering on the first day of the week does not portray the Messiah's resurrection, as he was resurrected on the seventh day, not Sunday. The wave offering, thus, is not a holy convocation. The offering of the 2 leavened loaves at the Feast of Weeks, the day upon which Moses went up Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, and the day upon which the disciples of Yahshua received the Holy Spirit, is called Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks. These three holy convocations, the first rehearsals, have been fulfilled by Yahshua, and we continue to observe them to honor Yahweh's plan of salvation. By blowing the trumpets on the first day of the scriptural seventh month, we are rehearsing for the day of Yahweh and the resurrection of the righteous, when the final trump shall sound, bringing joy to those in obedience and horror to those living outside the law of Yahweh. This is the Feast of Trumpets. Soon we shall rehearse the tribulation, when our souls will be afflicted on the day called the Day of Atonement. After that, we will rehearse the gathering of nations to Jerusalem, when Satan will be bound in the pit, and those raised in the first resurrection will work in the 1,000-year reign of Yahshua the Messiah. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. At the end of this time, the second resurrection will occur, and Satan will be loosed for a while. Those who did not have the opportunity to hear the word before they died will hear the truth, and those who reject it will be reserved for the last great day. And we will rehearse the day when all evil shall be put away in the lake of fire, and eternity will finally begin for us. This holy convocation is called the last great day. Finally begin, as I mentioned, eternity will finally begin, is an interesting expression. Don't you think? Finally begin. You get a picture of a cycle there? Finally, and then beginning. Beginning and ending, beginning and ending. The new heaven and the new earth. This is Yahweh's plan of salvation. Are you one of the builders of the kingdom of Yahweh? One of those who will rule with the power of Elohim? Are you one of the children of Israel, carrying the name of Yahweh, having the law written on your heart and in your mind? Well then, blessings to you. If not, then may Yahweh in His long-suffering and mercy reach out to you and do whatever it takes to bring you to Him for His name's sake. In Yahshua's mighty and loving name, hallelujah.